Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's official, baby. The Euros is happening, and it's happening this bloody week. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, the 7th of June. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen. It is a brand new week. It's a Monday and it's the week of the goddamn Euros.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. It feels
so
real now, right?
It does feel real. And also, like, it's been 3 years since the tournament, which is weird. We've never really experienced that before. So I'm so ready. I've got a year's worth of ready.
Pete's flapping around his Euro chart.
I've got a Euro chart. I'm considering buying a North Macedonia concept kit. It looks like an inverse kind of Japan flag job. It's beautiful.
Is that the one for you?
That's the one. If they could make the North Macedonia flag into a kit with the kind of like the sun and the that would look really cool. They've not done that. And that's what's upsetting.
Oh, it's upsetting. But you know what? What a week for the Euros to start as well. Yeah, the weather
glorious.
Here in England is
balmy,
scorching. We've all got our legs out today. Oi, oi.
Yep. I just realised I've got paint on mine. Oi, oi.
What have you been painting?
I painted a bench.
Did you?
I painted it red and white and brown, and then realised I'd basically made it look like the entrance to Chinatown. Like a pagoda.
You're allowed to be doing this. You're not just like knocking around painting memorial benches or something.
I'm the Birkenstead Banksy.
It does just feel, though, like we are at the start of the tournament now. I know we've still got to wait another 4 days. It starts on Friday, but it does feel
pre-game.
Especially because we've had the last England friendly last night, and it just sort of feels like we're all tournament ready. What did you make of England last night, Jim?
I mean, yeah, it was like with any of these games, they're never going to be that scintillating, are they? Like, if you look back at kind of pre-tournament friendlies, they never mean anything. They're never really that much of an indication of how a team's going to do. So I'm trying to be sort of, you know, philosophical about how it was just a little bit kind of functional and flat. And also, you know, this it's still not the team that's going to be playing in the Euros. So
nowhere near. Yeah. That's the weird thing, isn't it? It's like the England team yesterday, like, if you're going to play three at the back, have a crack at that, maybe. Yeah. Give us a little inkling. But maybe he's just keeping his powder dry. Maybe he's keeping it on the down low.
One thing we do know is who that final member of the 26-man squad is now. This morning, the FA announced that it's lovely Ben White, yeah. Brighton
Ben
and
White.
Hove Albion's.
One of your
Ben
own.
White, he's one of our own. He's made the England squad. I'm so excited. I'm so happy for him. He fully deserves it as well. You know, when he got announced in the 33 and we all kind of like joked around a little bit about those extra players, like kind of what's the point in a way, because none of them are probably going to make it for this tournament. But for him to get his first call up only like a few days ago and have actually made the squad is an incredible achievement for him, an amazing moment, a great moment for the club as well. And I think a little bit of credit as well has to go to Graham Potter, because he's the one who's played him in all these different versatile positions throughout the season. And Gareth Southgate has obviously looked at that. That's probably why he made the 33, because of his versatility.
Yeah.
And now, of course, we don't ever want to see a player get injured. And so unfortunate for Trent Alexander-Arnold after the year he's had that he now couldn't make the squad because of his thigh injury. But then it opens the door up for someone else. And I think Ben White has fully deserved to get that call up.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think Southgate probably didn't know who that last player was going to be until after the game yesterday. Mm. Hence Watkins and Ward-Prowse featuring as well and you know, various others. Which is interesting, but it does make you wonder about Harry Maguire's fitness, doesn't it? Like, if another centre-back's coming in, then there's talk he might miss the whole group stage, which is, you know, which is pretty nuts. I mean, we did that with Wayne Rooney before, and it seemed a bigger deal because Rooney's of a higher profile, but it's like, oh God, are we doing this again?
I think him versus Mings, the way that they play, but Mings plays very different, slightly more cagier football, I would say, from his position, and White just looks like a more expansive, more interesting proposition. I think it's cracking. I would like to have seen a three. I think Trippier could have filled in and we could have seen what England may shape up as he could have deputised, I think. But look, trust in Gareth. He's become everything an international manager should be. He's a statesman. He's thoughtful. He's a grown-up in the room. He's not full of bombast. He's level-headed. And I do think he is trying to stress-test Grealish to the point of injury. Because he's going, look, everyone wants me to play Grealish. Well, can he play two friendly matches that mean nothing in the full 90 minutes?
How much people kick him? I can't play him. I can't play him because I need him, weirdly.
I'm waiting until he gets kicked in the head and then he can't play. But the way that he's talking, I think Matt Ford made the point on Five Live last night, wasn't it, six or six, he sort of said the way that Southgate was talking about the introduction of Rooney, I think it was. No, the introduction of Beckham before. And was it Beckham and Hoddle? Either way, there was a big sort of hoo-ha about introducing a player like a couple of matches into the tournament. And Hoddle kind of did the same thing. So I think Gareth with Grealish, he's probably not going to start the first match. He will be coming off the bench. That's all he's been talking about. Players who can come off the bench and change games. So I don't think he's going to start, personally.
We're going to see a lot of that, I think, in this tournament, like across the board, not just with England, just because, you know, the amount of football that footballers have played this year, there's going to have to be some squad rotation and management, even over a short tournament, I think, to get the best out of these squads. And that is what they're there for, isn't it? But I cannot dampen my excitement, even with a game that's not actually that good.
I know.
And we haven't seen half the players who are coming in.
I know,
you know
right?
what I mean? Because of the Chelsea-Manchester City thing. Do you think they could have got some minutes? I know like a lot of these games are to get, and certainly the other home nations have kind of used this to kind of give players who haven't played this season some minutes. Do you not think that we could have seen some players?
We could have, but as you've just said about Gareth Southgate, he's measured, he's an adult in the room, he thinks things through. It's probably the smartest, safest move to just give those players that extra rest. He's got the option, so he's taken it. You know, I mean, we saw what happened with Trent Alexander-Arnold. You don't want to, you know, it could even be a difference of one day's rest that stop someone from getting a muscle injury. So I think it makes sense.
Not even a missed penalty can dampen your excitement, eh?
No.
No. What was Hendo doing taking that penalty off Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
He was saying to Gareth, look, when it comes to a shootout deep into the tournament, don't have me in your five.
Don't pick me. What is it about England and penalties, AP?
I don't know. Do you really think of Hendo as being their main kind of like a big penalty boy? He just comes on and goes, I'm here for one reason only, vibe. Yeah. And I'm going to take this penalty. And it was very bizarre.
I certainly don't think of him as a big penalty boy.
No. Roy Keane had his opinion of him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Basically said, what's he there for? Is he a cheerleader? Does he do card tricks? What's he actually there for?
Pepe Reina is very important, as we've said before on the show.
Does he do quizzes
in the evenings? I mean, I'm a big fan of a quiz. I'm not over them like from lockdown. I'm kind of...
Oh, really?
They got a bit annoying, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's been a while now. I'm up for a quiz.
But they've come back though, and people have forgotten that music rounds and sound rounds on Zoom just do not work. They echo, they don't work. It's just stop trying them.
I like a picture round personally on Zoom.
Yeah, I do too.
In a quiz.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon Hendo would be good at those.
Well, maybe that is what he's there for then. I think, this is the real nubbin of it, isn't it?
It was weird though, wasn't it? Pulling rank and then missing the penalty.
Yeah, no, you've got to score.
Because like, you're there for one reason only. You're there to kind of like be the grown-up and be like the leader, and he just fucked it.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like Dominic Calvert-Lewin will play if there's an injury to Harry Kane. Yeah. He'll probably get minutes off the bench. Let him score a goal.
I know.
Whoa!
Whoa!
I'm sorry.
Just unplug it. There you go.
There you are.
Good night. Very enjoyable.
Whoopsie. Yeah. You know what?
This is how giddy we all are.
I'm the kid. I'm doing the CONCACAF.
I had a cereal bar on the way to work, and I think there's a bit lodged in the back of my throat. So you're
trying to clear it.
You know when you feel like you might cough soon?
Yeah.
I thought, let me stop that potentially happening. Mm. And have a sip of water.
And then you poured water on the iPad.
I got excited about Dominic Calvert-Lewin needing to score before the tournament. And now I've got water everywhere.
The rhythm escaping. Yeah. You're that excited.
We've got a lot of shots to do. Can we not have water on the iPad?
Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry.
We're going to have to bring Ben White in.
Where were we? So, DCL. I mean, exactly what you were saying, though, Jim, I think is where, before I got distracted, were you saying that a player like him be good to get on the score sheet before the tournament?
Exactly.
Right, because, good. That's exactly what I was thinking.
He's going to play, and you know that's what he's there for. You want to give him that little bit of wind in his sails, but no, old quiz boy wanted to take it off of him.
Quiz boy.
But yeah, I mean, what do you think with Keane saying that stuff though? Because ultimately, Jordan Henderson isn't going to be match fit, and no amount of hoping that he is going to be match fit will make him match fit. So. Mm. Is it better to get ready for a plan that sort of doesn't include him?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of see what King's saying.
It was bizarre. Yeah, no, I think it was a bizarre sort of penalty choice, and I think Keane has made some pretty good points. I mean, if he'd put it away, fine. That's a captain's performance, but...
I mean, I guess we don't know if he's going to be playing. It would be interesting to see if he plans to start him when he hasn't played so much football. Also, Marcus Rashford is probably going to have foot surgery, isn't he, after the tournament? So it's like, your foot can't be in a good way, can it, if it needs surgery?
And you've
still got to run around kicking stuff with it? It's not ideal. Yeah.
I've enjoyed England's sort of directness in these couple of friendly matches, because they do frighten people when they just really, really run at them, and that's something that that you know you need your Rashfords to kind of stretch the play a little bit. That's why you need
I don't think Dominic Calvert-Lewin really needed to score that penalty in order to get himself motivated for the tournament, because his dad is his biggest motivator. He sung World in Motion for him on a video call when he got his call up for the Euros. When that was confirmed, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's dad is a ledge.
He is, because a lot of people would have gone with Three Lions. Nope. Not Dominic Calvert-Lewin's dad.
Nope,
he's gone
not
for
him.
World in Motion.
Way more singable.
Exactly. One of the few good football songs, I would argue.
Oh, Pete Dolson. Yeah.
That was
really cleverly. That's why I was off mic. I was just popping it over to... dear Lord.
You've dried me off and you've given it back. Thanks very much, Pete.
Pete Dolson, drying people off.
What a good start to the week this has been. This is the start of what will come for the Euros.
Jules Breach's soggy iPad.
Does anyone feel a bit sorry for James Ward-Prowse for not getting that place? Because he worked his absolute socks off. We know he always does. He does that for Southampton every single game, so it's no surprise. And I think because of Trent Alexander-Arnold missing out, and obviously being a bit of a dead ball specialist, it kind of seemed like the obvious replacement.
Yeah.
However, there are other players in the England squad that can do that. So to have him just for that reason, I don't know what Gareth Southgate's reasoning is, but, you know, we've got Mason Mount, who can create a lot of chances from dead ball situations. Luke Shaw's pretty good from those scenarios.
And he's played
a
lot of matches as well. Mm. Like, from what I saw from these kind of preparatory matches, I just sort of think, like, everyone looked a bit exhausted, but he didn't. I don't think he covered himself in not covered his time of glory, but he didn't play amazingly well.
You know how up for it we all are? Mm-hmm. The players have got all to be up for it, even if they're shattered.
Can you imagine?
Can you
actually
imagine? You'd
be so giddy with excitement. Actually, one thing I really want to see, and I say this before every tournament, and I make no apology for doing so, is I really, really want to see England, at least in one of the games, properly off the leash, just absolutely going for it. As you say, like running at teams, Grealish on the pitch, like just
make
those
it the Scotland game.
Yes, yes. That's on my birthday. Make it that.
Yes.
I mean, do you remember, everyone has incredible memories of England beating the Dutch 4-1 at Wembley in Euro 96. Like that period, it felt like England were Brazil 1970 and you couldn't believe your luck. And those periods in matches make such precious memories that stay with you. And they're the sort of thing that make people love football. Like generations of kids fall in love with football with stuff like that. I really, really hope that we do get some of those periods, because England have been conservative in the build up. And you hope that part of the plan is that, you know, that they're kind of saving it all up for to unbottle it when it really, really matters. But, you know, we don't know if it will actually go that way.
Well, it's a tough game to begin with, isn't it? Playing Croatia in our first match on Sunday. But I've got high hopes as well. I'm feeling confident.
Bring Johnston out for halftime.
Bring who out? Johnston,
yeah.
He was decent last night, wasn't he? Made a couple of good saves.
Yeah, I don't know if he's merited being brought on for the second half of the game against Croatia.
They just look a bit weird, and so bring him out for the second half.
Yeah, why are they doing that?
Shore it up. Take Luke Shaw off. Bring him on.
Two goalkeepers on then.
He was very good.
So look, we're all excited about the Euros. One thing we do need to touch on, though, from last night's game, and it is a bit annoying that we have to talk about this again, but it's a big talking point. And the players were booed once again as they took the knee before the match. Gareth Southgate and the players were strident in their support of it before the game, but it doesn't seem to matter. And I just can't get my head around how depressing it is that those fans in the stadium is probably likely to be their first time going back to watch a football match live. Mm. And they sit there and they decide that it's the right thing to boo the players who are playing for your national team before a game because they're taking a stand against racism. How depressing is that?
I know. And especially, you've got all these people making this kind of parroted whataboutery argument that, oh, they're booing the fact it's a political gesture and blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's kind of, they're claiming that they're booing a gesture because it's political. But if you take that at face value, and if you know, obviously a lot of the time when they say that, they're actually covering the fact that it's just racism. But if you take what they are saying at face value, they are doing the same thing that the out and out racists are doing. They're going, look, we see that you're sending a message. We're going to disregard that message and boo the fact that you are sending a message. That's the best case scenario that they're claiming. And it's like, again, it's another example of privilege, isn't it? That you can just, you go, actually, no, we're going to disregard what you're saying. We don't care what you're saying. We're just going to boo that you're saying something. Mm. It's just pathetic, really. And if you take a step back from it as well, because obviously every time that happens, you're disappointed and you think, oh, for God's sake, like this is, it makes not you angry. Mm. It's embarrassing for both football, as a football fan and as an English person. But doesn't it make the image even more powerful? It makes it so striking that this is what they're up against. This is why they're taking the knee in the first place, because this is, you can't even make a little gesture like that without it for some reason being controversial. And if you're booing the idea that people want to make society fairer and more inclusive, you have to think about that. And you're effectively putting forward your support for the status quo and your support for inequality and for some people not being deemed as equal as others because of arbitrary things like the creed or skin colour or even like status in society in some cases. It's like, how can you boo Marcus Rashford?
After what he's done this year. But it will always be said, unfairly in my view, like it's only some of the fans. Until it's none of the fans, it's all of the fans in my opinion. And like England supporters, I've said it before, like England supporters who attend games, go home and away, have frequently shown themselves to be racist. And you can sort of say, oh, it's only some of the fans, it's not some of those. But either way, if I was a black player playing for England and I can't imagine what is going through their heads right now, I would feel very disillusioned at this point. What am I fucking playing for? Why am I putting myself at risk for injury for the product that pays my pay packet? Why don't I just go back to my club where I'm beloved by everyone? Just like, get fucked. Mm. Like it's tedious. So well done, lads, you did it. Yeah. Well done. With your English tattoos. Well done, you did it. You're booing, kneeling in front room, booing the telly. You
get all these people going,
we're not.
It's fun. It. No, that's mainly fun.
Yeah.
People booing in front of their telly and pathetic. Trying to get it trending on Twitter. Yeah. What are you expecting to achieve out of that?
I think when people boo on the in the stadium though, I do think they're little willies. I do think of their little willies.
I don't want to think of their little willies.
All right, well you don't have to, but I do. But I think of their little flaccid little willies, and it makes me laugh. While they're doing boo, their little willies are sat there, just these little silly willies.
That's a way of looking
silly,
at it, isn't it?
Like, silly little racist willies.
So I do think of that every time it happens, you know, in the tournament, because it's bound to, isn't it? It's weird as well, isn't it? Like, oh no, we're not booing you because of the colour of your skin. We're booing you because of your political allegiances, and actually, we don't think politics should be in football. It's like you're still booing.
You're literally
stop
still
booing.
Booing
me, please.
A boo.
What are you booing for?
Yeah,
idiots. Well, look, let's hope that one day this all stops, and I know the players will continue to make a stand against racism, and good for them for continuing to do so. Final thing on England before we move on. Gareth Southgate said he has that one final decision to make on his starting 11 for England's opener against Croatia on Sunday. I wonder how the players must be feeling. I wonder how the 10 feel. I wonder whether they know they're starting or whether they think, oh, am I or am I not? Do you reckon they know? Do you reckon, who do you think there's that?
Wonder.
Like, no likey, no lighty, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh man. Someone's going to get pushed in a pool.
A jeopardy in there, isn't there? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for a squad? I don't know. I reckon it will be whether or not he's going to start Henderson. That's my,
you reckon?
That's my guess.
I reckon after last night, he knows.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think, Pete? Who's that one player?
It's Grealish, isn't it? Grealish, isn't it?
Grealish or...
I've told you, he's trying to ruin it. He's trying to exhaust him, but he's not exhausted.
Well, it might be Grealish or Foden. And that's a tough one, to be fair, isn't it? That's a really difficult decision to make.
Yeah, you'd want Foden in there, wouldn't you?
How do you not play them both? How do you not start them both right now? For me, that's who you start.
But maybe Grealish, the way that he's kind of equipped himself incredibly well over the past couple of friendly matches, he's that player you need in the knockouts. Like the kind of guy who's going to win you a free kick, going to win you a penalty. Because he did some lovely penalty winning yesterday.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Winning your games are so good, isn't he? He's just exciting. I'm so excited. Let's touch on the other home nations then. Scotland beating Luxembourg last night by 1-0. Luxembourg went down to 10 men. They actually went down to 10 men after half an hour, and Scotland had scored the goal before that. So they actually did pretty well, Luxembourg, not to concede any more.
I love
Che
that
Adams
from
with
Scotland
the goal
as well. Right, we got the goal. They're down to 10 men. Let's shut up shop.
Just 2 defeats in 16 for the Scots now. And look, I mean, if we're excited, can you imagine if there was a Scottish person sat in the studio right now, Jim?
Yeah.
Because it's their first
like major tournament. Like we, Peter Donaldson.
First major tournament for so long, and they must be absolutely buzzing, Pete.
Oh, they're a solid Premier League elite level side, and I think they're going to surprise a lot of people, and I think they're certainly going to surprise England when they play them. I am absolutely shitting my britches.
Yeah, I've not really thought about how much he's kind of riding on that.
It's going to be
lose
massive.
To Scotland at a tournament at Wembley.
They are very left-sided, but they are very good at the moment. And they can't be as profligate, they can't be as wasteful or depraved as they were in this match. They've got to put them away. But, you know, Luxembourg are a decent side these days.
You know what England need to do in the Scotland game? They need to make sure they play Ben White, because here's a little stat for you. Here's a little stat. When a Brighton player has played for England, we've got a 100% record.
Wow.
Never lost.
Now, how many matches is that?
Not many.
Not many.
Not many, Pete, but it's still a stat,
okay,
and I'm going to hold on to it as long as it lasts. It's going to be an exciting time for Scotland fans as well. What about the Wales fans ever since their last Euros competition, which was phenomenal?
Yeah.
Their final match before the tournament, 0-0 against Albania, but they had the fans at the Cardiff City Stadium,
it was nice,
6,500 of them. They were at absolutely loving it.
I think the winner was the referee who kind of kept everyone on the field, which is a real achievement. But yeah, it's all about game time for the Welsh squad, obviously. I think Nico Williams has played more matches for Wales than he has for Liverpool this season, or something mad like that. So it's all about getting them ship-shape. But yeah, I think the Euros is going to be a lot of very exhausted players. I've said it before. It's going to be a weird tournament, but it's going to be a lot of cagey football. And this was a really good example of that, I think. And the players and the teams who really sort of go out and to win matches are going to leave themselves short at the back. So I think there's going to be a lot of nil-nils in this tournament.
I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned how little
or
football
shit,
Nico Williams has played.
Loads of goals because defenders don't want to defend.
They're just knackered. They're just cramping up all over the place.
A lot of teams are all whites in. Ben White.
Yeah, I mean, like, as you touched on with Nico Williams there, I mean, he's going to be fresh for the tournament, isn't he? So actually, that could go to their advantage.
Yeah, but you could be fresh for the tournament. Because he said he put in loads of extra training sessions at Liverpool at the end of the season because he's not, obviously, he's second in command in that particular position. But yeah, I would be a bit annoyed if I was like a Liverpool coach. Go, what am I training you for? I'm training you for Wales.
I don't get extra for this.
you joke about players getting injured because of how tired they all are for the tournament. There also could be a situation where COVID could affect squads coming into the Euros as well, or even during the competition itself. I don't know whether you heard about the Spain team, but Sergio Busquets tested positive and is ruled out for the rest of the senior squad. So the under-21s have actually been called up to play their game against Portugal tomorrow against Lithuania, which is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I'd rather play Lithuania than Portugal.
Get an entire... I wonder whether that could happen. Like, what actually happens if an entire squad gets wiped out by COVID during the Euros?
Yeah. And then they're under-21s get the semis. And you're like, what?
The unders get to play? What happens?
There must be a protocol in place. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but maybe it would be this. Could you imagine if England go out to an under-21 team?
Well, imagine if, like, there might be certain teams that have really decent under-21s. Yeah. So I go, and the manager's going, well, these aren't operating for me. Can everyone lick, like, the banisters and stuff? But they've got to be so careful. One slip, and like, we're at the position where we've had these COVID kind of situations for such a long time, and players have to be so careful. We've had a year and a half of this, so like, people are going to start to get complacent, and this, it only takes one binary, one or zero kind of, you've either got it or you haven't, to decimate an entire squad, and you can't play in the Euros. It's incredible. Adama Traore is going to have his arms covered in alcohol gel, never mind his baby oil.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine? That would be quite lovely.
Imagine, if just every squad gets it, like, it just goes through it. Like,
because
the later on into the tournament you get, like, the more likely it is that, you know, if you're going to have teams coming into contact with each other, so... piss off, COVID.
Let's hope not. We all want to be in the pub, especially for that England-Scotland game. All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, some absolute batshit crazy stuff from CONCACAF.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Bernie Katz was fun, he was kind. When he walked in, the room just lit up.
And there was something magical about this young man that just had a glint in his eye, that didn't give a shit about anything, but loved everything.
My first impressions were of a huge, vibrant and outgoing personality, all hugs, grins, extravagant language and wild attire.
Always in a leopard skin jacket, whirling around like a windmill. I know, she's a character. I don't know if those people exist anymore. They're sort of dying out. Everything's changed.
It is a bank holiday weekend in London, the late summer of 2017. The streets around Kentish Town, just north of the city and halfway towards Hampstead Heath, are unusually quiet. That evening, in a small, converted flat, just a 15-minute bus ride from King's Cross Station, Bernie Katz, pocket-sized and long-standing front-of-house manager of London's Groucho Club, is found dead by his landlord.
I said to him, what happened? You know, and he said, we are not talking about it. And yes, there have been the rumours. We've all heard. I mean, what did I hear specifically? That he was murdered.
His relationship with his father was so toxic. He hated the idea that his son was gay. His right. Dad was a proper gangster. Bernie came down, there was a car far from. Guy blows his dad's head off.
They're all part of the same fetid, seething, self-referential nest of vipers that I think the Groucho have become.
Was Bernie depressive? I think yes. When alone, a condition he rarely sought, he had demons that flew about his head.
I get a call from Bernie and he is in £20,000 worth of debt with the Albanian gangsters in Soho. We all collected and paid the debt.
The way that the Albanians operate is very, very peculiar because they did not operate like any other mafia in Europe.
I've never been able to establish exactly what happened and why, but whatever it was so wrong.
Bernie, who killed the Prince of Soho? Listen now. A Stack production, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I read something, some quote from the worst manager in the history of the Premier League, Frank de Boer, 7 matches, 7 defeats, 0 goals, where he was saying that it's not good for Marcus Rashford to have a coach like me. If he was coached by Frank, he would learn how to lose because he lost every game.
Oh! No need. Absolutely no need.
Nasty.
You know, one good thing about Jose Mourinho is he has actually said he thinks England can win the Euros, and he said, and so should you. You should believe it.
Did you see that TalkSport have, for their Euro coverage, they've got everyone covered in yellow custard for some fucking reason.
Gunge.
I don't know. Gunge. They've got gunged. Why are they being gunged? Whatever they might be wearing. Whatever they might be wearing, they're getting gunged.
People and gets, will pay good money to see
well,
that.
Yeah, all right. Well, if you, yeah, exactly. So, but I don't understand why they've gunged everyone. Jose Mourinho did not get gunged.
He thought, fuck off. You're fuck not gunging off. Me.
You're not gunging yeah. me.
It's like, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
the big daddy. I mean, do the
you,
gunging.
Do you remember that video of him like, tripping over a
snail, tortoise.
What are they called? You
dead
get them outside
man.
A club.
The club. Oh, the rope. Yeah, okay, right.
He tripped over a club
the
rope.
The VIP rope.
Yeah, you just know if he could buy that footage and destroy it, he would. There's no way he's getting voluntarily gunged. That's not good for the brand, is it?
Oh, you're listening to the Football Ramble. It's a Monday. We're building up to the Euros. We're all buzzing. It's Jules, Pete, and Jim here. And now it's time for this.
I call.
That is nice. Horrible. Absolutely
I want to hear a man on a train playing that on an accordion. Yeah.
Alex Christian, that is horrible.
Wonderful. I liked it. It was wonderfully chaotic.
A mix of a previous one, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, oh. I believe so. How far can this go? How extreme can it get?
It sounds like Mulligan on a Hare. Do you remember the Vicaries and Bob Mortimer character?
Yes.
I'm not saying I'll forget you, but please remind me of your name. My memories have gone and left me since I became insane. A little song down there.
Jim, what you got for us?
So we've got a number of emails all about the same thing. This first one is from Stephen Dewar. I think I'm going to mispronounce that.
I love this pattern of thought, by the way.
Yeah. They're all from Stephen. Mm. First email says, hey, I know you guys are sleeping, but please do a few minutes on the USA-Mexico CONCACAF Nations League final. Second email, I sent an email earlier, but this game keeps on getting more and more ridiculous. Please cover. Thanks. Third email, 2 VAR pens and extra time. This is nonsense. Please cover.
It's absolutely absolutely crazy what happened.
It was like spring break on the pitch, off the pitch. It was insane.
And the referee was essentially Wayne Lineker. He was having the best time.
He's got to do something. His clubs are closed.
Yeah. Let me summarise in case you missed it. USA beat Mexico 3-2 in the CONCACAF Nations League final. Pulisic with an absolute banging penalty in extra time despite various bits of Mexico shithousery. After the 90 minutes, all of this stuff happened. There was a fight, a fan running onto the CBS TV studio set, which was actually within the stadium while they were live, a referee signalling for the VAR penalty to the USA in the most extraordinary fashion. Think Mike Dean times 10.
Yeah.
Gio Reyna getting hit with a bottle thrown by a fan amongst the Pulisic celebrations. Gio Reyna was on the bench, by the way, when that happened. VAR giving Mexico a penalty and the US subkeeper, Ethan Horvath, saving it. Clint Dempsey, who was on punditry in blacked out shades and a camouflage tuxedo, one of my highlights.
Yeah, I mean.
Stephen Dow also added, didn't he, Jim, Mexico's Irving Lozano's nicknamed Chucky because he used to hide under teammates' beds in junior football. Fucking weird.
That is weird.
Babadook. What's going on over there?
What a mental game.
That's great. That is great. More of it, please.
The way that the referee just went, bang! Penalty. Yeah. He threw
it. Get out of here!
It was like a really theatrical baseball ref, wasn't it? He's like, he threw the penalty like a grenade. It's penalty time!
It was so dramatic, wasn't it?
I love it.
Love it.
Really enjoyable.
International football's brilliant, isn't it? It's just brilliant. And we're about to have so much of it and I can't wait.
What about the fan running onto the TV set? It was quite extraordinary. I mean, Kate, who is the host, Kate Abdo, looked absolutely terrified.
Yeah. As she should have been. Lordy.
I want to know who's the geezer was that actually attacked the fan, like grabbed him and was like, you get down there.
Yeah, he sort of falls out of view, wasn't he? Well, I think it was a security guard and the guy just sort of went, oh, I'm going to get beaten up here. It's like when wrestling fans run in the ring because they know for a fact if a wrestler gets all of you're going out the back and you're getting filled in. So he just went, I'll do it and then I'll run away. See you later.
I mean, Clint Dempsey, to be fair, in that coverage, he found it all quite amusing. But I mean, what do you think of his outfit?
The
Jim?
Outfit, a camouflage tuxedo, is an amazing.
Ready for war?
He actually pulls it off. Like, he actually pulled. Like he actually, it actually looks good.
The juice is going to do that, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
juice is going to juice.
What sort of evening are you preparing for in a camouflage tuxedo?
Yeah. Like, what goes through your mind when you think I'm going to buy that?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to buy that and I'm actually going to wear it because I buy a lot of shit and I think, actually, you know what, I'm not going to wear that. That was I was feeling a bit bold that day.
Yeah,
but he actually decided to wear it.
What's the worst thing? Is it worse than a camouflage tuxedo?
Oh, yeah. I bought some shockers before.
Cool.
They get returned.
I actually stopped buying clothes this year because I just spent so much money on clothes last year.
In
the lockdown where you just wanted, the doorbell to ring and you go, oh, I hope it's chosen me. It's like a sort of cargo cop. But I was getting to the point where it's like, do I need a poncho? Maybe I could get a dueling glove. I was like, no, I need to take a step back from this.
No camo jackets in those deliveries.
None actually. Maybe I should get a camouflage tuxedo.
You should get like a group sort of Depop account. You sell all your old stuff.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Oh, what a game though. That was absolutely nuts. Cracking. We love it. Also, some awards happened. We've had the PFA awards now, finally. Last week when we were revealing everyone's predictions, pre-season ones, we were talking about who actually is the player of the season. We couldn't actually figure out whether they announced it. Taken their time, haven't they?
They really have.
Jesus. I mean, finally we know. So KDB, Kevin De Bruyne and Fran Kirby were named the Players of the Year. Lauren Hemp and Phil Foden won the Young Player of the Season awards. Foden also got the Young Players Award from the Premier League. Ruben Dias won Premier League Player of the Year award as well. And Pep Guardiola won the Manager of the Year award. I mean, basically City won everything.
Yeah.
Apart from Fran Kirby in that list, they all play for Manchester City.
Well, Hempor, as I call her, she scores good, so many different kinds of goals. A dink, a chip, a header, a looping header. There's so many different kinds.
A looping dink?
It's like you couldn't sort of say dinky. There is a... Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of goals, Eric Lamella won the award for goal of the season with that amazing Rabona.
He did.
Lovely.
That was good against boys' Arsenal.
Pretty sweet. And I could enjoy it because we won. So...
You enjoy Burkamps against Newcastle.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Arsenal, sorry, Jim. Speaking of Arsenal, Emi Buendia, you didn't get him.
No.
He's gone to Aston Villa. I mean, what a signing this is for Villa.
It is a brilliant signing.
I think
for them.
This is a top. When I saw this over the weekend, I thought, what a good signing that is. I mean, I think Norwich were really fortunate that he didn't move on last year when got relegated, because that was what everyone was expecting, really. And he's been sensational again this season, obviously getting them promoted as champions. It was always kind of expected that him and maybe Todd Cantwell would possibly move on. He's obviously made his move now. He's going to Villa. I think it's a fucking brilliant... I really swore then. I got a bit excited.
You nearly swore. You did swear.
I actually did swear. Sorry.
That's all right.
I was like, do I swear here or not?
It's all right.
Yeah, you can do that.
I got a bit excited, didn't I?
That's what people know and want.
why did I censor myself then? I don't know. It's like I looked at Pete and thought you were my dad. And I was like, I better not swear.
You're not on telly now.
I know. Very good signing. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. And I think Villa are very lucky to have him.
Yeah, I think
why have Arsenal screwed this up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you never know how kind of how real and interesting a player is, do you? Behind the scenes, because players have got their own list of targets. But Buendia was linked to Arsenal for a long, long time. So I would think there's definitely something to it. And it is disappointing to miss out on him. All I can think it is that apparently Arsenal matched the terms. So clearly he just thinks he's going to achieve more of Villa.
But oh,
like,
no.
I mean, Villa, actually, they made such great signings last year. They were really, really canny, and they absolutely nailed that aspect of their summer.
The difference is, though, they were very late signings. This time, they've gone early, which is huge.
Well, they've got very wealthy owners, haven't they, Villa? And they clearly mean business, and they're going about it really, really cleverly, and they're in a really good period. And, I mean... Grealish on one side, Buendia on another. That is chance creation boulevard, isn't it?
This could kickstart the entire market, though. You know, no one was expecting for anybody to spend any money. 33 is a pretty... 33 with a possible 40 on... Not on top, but up to 40 is pretty decent.
It is. It's a lot of money. The one good thing about who I think... Actually, Ben White got Brighton's Player of the Season. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. I personally think Yves Bissouma's probably been our best player of the season, but... Fair play to Ben White, obviously getting his call up to the England squad as well. And he has been brilliant for us. But the one good thing with Yves Bissouma being linked with Arsenal is it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, because there's two of them going to Liverpool as well. Like, this is the problem. If you don't have European football, like and you are in a bit of a kind of, you know, death spiral, it is harder to attract players. Mm. So, I mean...
It's not really a death spiral, is it? It's that little maze and screwball scramble where you're not really sure which end you're going to come out of, and both ends are bad.
Purgatory.
It's purgatory.
Premier League purgatory. Yeah. I mean, Arsenal are going to have to sort of look at... Like, maybe they are going to have to look at players in the Championship and younger players from Scotland, maybe. They've got to be a bit canny with the transfer market, and they've tried to be that, and it hasn't worked.
Some young
and
French,
that's really scary. Yeah, that used to work, didn't it? Let's do that. Get back to that.
What about Spurs? What's going on with them and finding a new manager? Because when Antonio Conte was linked, I was thinking, this is actually, I thought, could be a pretty good move for them.
Yeah.
It's all been called off now, though, Pete.
It's like a big bag of crisps, and it looks like it's full of crisps, the Levy.
Levi. See, I do that as well.
I sometimes go Levi, Levy.
I don't struggle with the actor Daniel Levy.
No, Levy.
But when it comes to Daniel Spurs.
Daniel Spurs. His war chest is very much like a big bag of crisps, and you open it and it's just full of air. Yeah. There's three crisps in it. It's like, oh, I was promised much more than this.
Everyone's taking the piss out of them about this, but I actually think it might be a mature decision. They explored it, and obviously... Conte would cost them too much money, which they don't have, and their values and ambitions probably don't quite align. They want him to develop young players, and people are like taking the piss out of them for wanting the manager to develop young players. That's a good thing, isn't it? It's like there is nothing wrong with admitting that something isn't the right fit. I think that's what has happened here. You've got to explore it if Conte's available, and if it doesn't quite fit, then fair enough.
Does anyone need to know about it necessarily, though? I mean, it doesn't need to be leaked.
It's hard to stop that now, isn't it?
They just went for John Carver to leave the Scotland setup. That's why they just he's had many offers for the continent.
Just get Nuno in. Surely, am I the only one that can see this? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's a bizarre one, isn't it? Because you would have thought that when Nuno and Wolves decided that they were going to part ways, that there had to be a reason behind that.
Yeah.
Obviously not, because otherwise that would be announced by now. I don't know. I don't really know what's going on there.
It seems a bizarre situation. Like for Nuno to announce, you're like, I've started a band and I'm just going to concentrate on my music. So see you later.
I wonder what it means in terms of the Tottenham stars, like the likes of Harry Kane and his future, and whether he would have actually preferred something to be in place before the Euros started. So that, I don't even know if it makes a difference to Harry Kane who the manager is next or not, but you'd have thought that Tottenham would want to secure this before. I don't know why I see it as like when the Euros starts, everything else around it stops. But it does.
No, I know what you mean, though.
It does feel like you want
that security.
Something.
You don't want uncertainty hanging over the Euros, do you? Or that period of time where everyone's going to be really busy and you can't really get anything done. But I don't think it's going to convince Harry Kane to stay if, you know, an ambitious manager's come in and they've gone, oh, no, sorry, you're too ambitious for us.
So true. Oh, guys, I'm sweating in here. It's a hot one today, isn't it?
Possum or what on the iPad?
Oh, no.
Cool it down, mate.
Have a swear. Oh. Have a nice cooling swear.
We're all off to the pub now.
Yay!
Absolutely buzzing for it. Who do you think's going to get the messiest later?
Me.
You reckon you?
Yeah.
Falling into a canal again?
Probably. Yeah, keep me away from those, actually, everybody.
Thanks for listening, guys. There is a new Ramble Meets available out today as well. And frankly, it's with one of the best players of all time. You're going to love listening to this. Andy caught up with Athar Matthäus to look ahead to Germany's chances at Euro 2020 and so much more as well.
Sorry, Lothar Matthäus. No, you didn't say. No, I'm just saying that's an amazing.
Yeah.
What a guess. Lothar Matthäus.
What a got.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It's huge.
How far we done come.
So make sure you go over to Football Ramble Presents, hit subscribe, give it a listen. Tomorrow, Marcus is going to be in his element. He's going to be building up to the Euros. I know how excited he is. He's going to be with Andy and Pete. Good luck on the hangover tomorrow. Enjoy that one.
Two non-drinkers and me.
Yeah.
Lovely.
You have taken that bullet, Pete. We all appreciate it.
Congratulations. See you soon, guys.
Ta-da.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome,
I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.